The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Stevie Nicol, and we'll start by looking at the Premier League and the title race in full swing between Liverpool and Manchester City. Still Liverpool away today at St James's Park to take on Newcastle. A game they came through with all 3 points thanks to a goal from Naby Keita. There were a few more chances from Liverpool as well, but they didn't manage to get the second goal. However, they did hold on for what ended up being a comfortable 3 points and were rarely troubled at the back. Were you a little bit nervous in the closing stages there?
Not really. I mean, anybody who follows Liverpool would be thinking about, look, it's only 1-0 and something crazy could happen. But when you're on the field and you are playing the way this team is, you know that on the field, they know what they're doing. They're playing the game out. Yes, they try to score, but it's about not making mistakes, not giving anything away. And they knew what they were doing, so no.
Don, there was a lot of talk about this Newcastle game potentially being the biggest banana skin for Liverpool in the games that they've got remaining in the title race, but they came through it. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells you that Liverpool are strong, obviously. It tells you that they took 40 points from 42. It tells you that they've got 21 clean sheets this season. And the best part of it all for Jurgen Klopp was, look at his bench today. I mean, that bench today was probably one of the best benches in Premier League history. It was incredible. You know, so many big guns rested. He picked a team that he thought was capable of winning the game, and they did. They played really well. Good individual performances. I thought Jordan Henderson, Naby Keita was good. We talk about the front three all of the time. But people like Gomez at right back, Andy Robertson was sensational. And they were cruising. Normally, Kay, when you watch a Premier League game and it's 1-0, you always think things can get nervy. A team might drop a couple of points. Not Liverpool today. They were absolutely fantastic today. And they probably should have scored 2 or 3.
Given Newcastle's form lately, though, Shaka, were you disappointed they didn't come away with more from this game?
If you get anything against Liverpool, it's a bonus. I don't think many teams, even Newcastle in this form, are really expecting to get much out of Liverpool. Credit to Newcastle. I thought Newcastle started quite well. And then in the second half, you just saw how good Liverpool are. And I think Stevie and Don are right. Though it was 1-0, and of course with that scoreline, you're always worried about a mistake, but it never really felt out of control, like Liverpool were going to make that mistake. And in the end, it was 1-0, but it was as comfortable a 1-0 as you could hope to see.
Meanwhile, Manchester City played later in the day. They headed to Elland Road to take on Leeds and finished with 4 goals and all 3 points. Goals from Rodri, Nathan Ake, Gabriel Jesus and Fernandinho. And springing their step as they head into the Champions League semi-finals. And it's as you were in the Premier League. Manchester City still ahead by a point. And absolutely no problem today away at Leeds, Stevie.
No, as expected. Leeds as a team, regardless of whether it's Bielsa or Jesse Marsh, try and go forward, particularly at home, and that means that they're going to leave some holes. Yes, it was a couple of set piece goals that got the first two for City, but they always looked in control. They always looked as though they had another gear to go to, and 4-0 is actually probably about the right score.
Yeah, he's managed to rest some players as well, yeah. As we saw with Liverpool. Don, Pep Guardiola, Kevin De Bruyne resting those legs. That can only be a good thing ahead of this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest takeaway from this is they've now et into Liverpool's goal difference. So they've got it all the way back to 1, where it was 6-7 a couple of games back. Another stellar performance from City. Like Liverpool, Pep's rested 1 or 2, thinking of the Real Madrid game, which is going to be an incredible game to watch. But they got the job done. They've got some tricky ties coming up in the Premier League. They've got Newcastle at home next, Man City, which are expected to beat them comfortably. But then 2 away games on the spin. They've got Wolves and West Ham. That might be a little bit more of a test for City, but it wouldn't surprise you the form that City and Liverpool are in if the two of them from now at the end of the season go unbeaten, because they're the best two sides by a distance.
Shaka, we're just taking a look at the remaining schedules here. Obviously, that's two more down for Man City and Liverpool together. After those Champions League games, any here that you see for City that could prove problematic? It is Newcastle next for them.
Yeah, and the only, well, according to the table, you would think West Ham, travelling to West Ham, but as we've seen recently, West Ham with both eyes firmly on the Europa League, I just don't think that West Ham put up the kind of fist that maybe they would have 6 or 8 weeks ago. So as you look at the table, and again, just given the form of both of these, City and Liverpool, them dropping points, is even a draw, is going to come as a surprise. And as you look at, as you look at the remaining fixtures for both, you just can't help but feel they're going to run the table, and you're not sure where that stumble is going to come, or if there is one, given the form that both of these are showing.
Now, there are some areas that Pep Guardiola probably won't know about just yet, because there's going to be late fitness tests, it would seem. Kyle Walker's obviously a name that keeps coming up there, and we'll see what Pep Guardiola decides to do. What do you think he's going to do with his team? Do you think he knows most of it, or do you think he's still thinking what to do?
Oh, no, this guy's... I don't think this guy sleeps. He just thinks about football. So, absolutely, 100%, he'll know who he wants, and he'll know who may struggle, and he'll have it all worked out, regardless of who ends up being fit and who's not fit. He'll know exactly what's going on the field, and he'll have it in his mind. And I think, actually, this is quite a straightforward one, because I think City just have to go and play the football. That's what they did at home. They went and played the football, and they completely, really dominated the game, certainly as far as possession was concerned. Yes, they lost 3 goals. So if I'm Pep, I'm not being clever. We always talk about him sometimes throwing a spanner in the works for the opposition that ends up tripping his own team up. I don't think he'll do it this time. I think we'll see a City side that went about it the same way they did in the first leg, and that's how they should go about it. Because if I'm Real Madrid, I know this team can play football.
You know this team can play football, but Man City also know what to expect from Real Madrid as well, particularly Vinicius Junior. So if it doesn't look good with Kyle Walker, like we're hearing today, Don, what happens?
Well, he's still got good options. He's got centre-backs that can play at right-back. If Cancelo's fit, he'll shift them across to right-back. Kyle Walker's obviously going to be a miss because he's a tremendous player, and he's quick. But I think the way Guardiola thinks about the game, he thinks about his defensive players, but he wants his defenders to be comfortable on the ball, because he'll back his team to go to the Bernabeu and not just defend. I mean, they put an unbelievable shift in against Atletico Madrid, which was a different side of Man City that we've not quite seen before. But he'll back himself to dominate the ball. It's going to be one of them games, Kay, it's a popcorn game where you sit back and you go, can't bring this game on, because it could be any result. I would fancy Man City to win it, but I think the game's going to come with a little bit of drama.
Yeah, a bit of drama at the bottom of the table in the Premier League as well. Burnley resurgent, it seems, a comeback win today against Watford. And it's starting to look stickier for the likes of Leeds United and Everton. The Toffees, see, I got a little...
Come on, that's Dan. I want you to ask Don. Come on, Don.
I was going to go to Shaka, but go on, let's get Don, shall we?
Let's get Don on it. They're deep.
I was calling the Watford Burnley game today, and when Watford took the lead and played quite well for 45, I was thinking Frank will be happy, Leeds will be happy, and all of a sudden at half time Burnley completely changed their game plan. They took Beck Horst off, they played into Ashley Barnes, they played into Vidra, they scored a brilliant goal here from Jack Cork, great ball in from Charlie Taylor from the left hand side, and they completely turned it around. And Watford ran out of legs, they had no ideas, they ran out of gas. The manager Roy Hodgson had a shocker. He made no substitutions at all in this game when his team were tiring. And then Brownhill got the winner. And then all of a sudden, your thoughts turn to Frank Lampard at Everton. You think, my goodness me, if they weren't in trouble before, they are bang in trouble now, Everton. They're 5 points behind. Yes, they've got 2 games in hand. They've got Chelsea tomorrow at Goodison, which is monumental. It's important they take something from that game. But my word, this is going to be a struggle.
Are they going down, Don?
Kay, I think there's every chance they will. And that's it pains me to say that because I'm you know, I'm always glass half full. I'm always quite optimistic. But Burnley's run have been brilliant. Before the game today, Leeds' run has been really good as well. And I think the only chance that Everton have got is they can try and reel Leeds United in. I think off the top of my head, they had Man City today. They've got Arsenal and Chelsea next, Leeds. So you could see a scenario where in 2 games' time, they've played 36 and added no points to their tally. So if Everton can nick a couple of draws or a win somewhere, maybe tomorrow, they can claw Leeds in. I think Burnley now have got enough, but I've got to admit, I'm panicking.
What do you reckon, Shaka? Everton going down?
Right now, I think it's between Everton and Leeds. And listen, you asked me this during the week, and I thought Everton puts a further distance between themselves and Burnley. But credit Mike Jackson, the job that he's done. I'm with Don on this. In the first half, you thought Watford were deserving of their lead. You couldn't see Burnley coming back. And yet, that turned around in the second half. From a manager coming in that nobody knew what to expect of, it really has been phenomenal, and it shows how this team continues to play for a manager that while we didn't know anything of and questioned the letting go of Sean Dyche, how well it's worked for them. The 2 games in hand for Everton are a comfort to no one. When you're down the bottom of the table, that means absolutely nothing. All you can see is the points on the board, and it becomes a greater concern. For Leeds, under Jesse Marsh, they've been playing well, and this is their first defeat in the last 6. So while, you know, it stings and it hurts and it drags you near to that bottom 3, I think some of your football is better than relegation would suggest. So I'm not panicking just yet. I know I'm way too close to the bottom 3, but I'm not panicking just yet. I think Everton are in deeper trouble, and right now I think that's the more likely of the two to, or most likely of the 3 to go down.
We'll see how Everton fare against Chelsea tomorrow, and we'll be talking about it on tomorrow's show. But don't forget, Chelsea in action against Liverpool in the FA Cup final at Wembley. Saturday, May 14th is that game. ESPN Plus will have you covered for it. Make sure to join us for the FA Cup final. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Real Madrid needed only a point in their game against Espanyol and another league title would be theirs. Well, they got more than 1 point. They got all 3 in what was a 4-0 win with 2 goals from Rodrigo, another from Marco Asensio, and Karim Benzema in on the action as well. He came on as a substitute because Carlo Ancelotti was able to rest a number of players ahead of that game in the Champions League. So Real Madrid, La Liga champions, taking the title off Atleti, who they face next week. And that is 35 league titles for Real Madrid, an unprecedented number. Barcelona the closest behind them with 26, but Real Madrid celebrating yet another league title today after that win over Espanyol. And therefore it at the Santiago Bernabeu, where Alexis Nunes, Sid Lowe and Pablo Sabaleta, here they are to look back on a season of success.
Yeah, Kay, I mean, the fans are still coming out here from the Santiago Bernabeu, where Real Madrid have gotten their 35th La Liga title in history. And Sid, I mean, this has been an absolutely brilliant day for them. As you were saying earlier, it doesn't even matter the result, because the main thing is that they finally wrapped it up early.
But they wrapped it up early, that they got through a game with no injuries, with no sense of fatigue, with no real problems. They were fortunate, I suppose, in a sense that they were playing against the team that commits the second fewest fouls in the whole of La Liga. The team that commits the fewest is Real Madrid. So they weren't in a position where they were ever really in any doubt. They were able to take players off in the minutes in which they wanted to do so. I think that was demonstrated by the fact that the first substitutions are in 60 minutes, which smells very much like, this is what we planned in advance. You play for an hour, you get half an hour, everybody's happy. And from that point of view, it was absolutely perfect for Real Madrid. Now means, of course, they can prepare for the game against City in midweek.
Pablo, what did you think of the game?
It was good. I mean, we all knew that was going to be easy game for Real Madrid. Real Madrid and Espanyol have something in common. They both both hate Barcelona. So, obviously,
to be fair to Espanyol, I feel like, I mean, you're the ex-Espanyol
like
player.
I feel like
I should defend Espanyol here. are one of only three teams to have beaten Real Madrid.
I know. They did it the first game at the Cornellà, but obviously it was the perfect scenario for Real Madrid today to put in a good performance, to win, to be champion in front of their own fans. Now they've got a chance to go to Cibeles to celebrate it, especially thinking that for the game on Wednesday, you know, is it going to be a huge game for them? Of course, they have 72 hours to prepare the game. But of course, today it's all about winning the league, celebrating. So they got it where they deserve it. They've been the best team in the league.
And then Sid, just job done today. How much does that help them concentrate on what's to come, meaning Champions League against Man City?
I honestly don't know. I feel like that's a question more for Pablo than for me, because I don't know the mindset of a professional player going into that game. I feel like this helps a little bit in that you haven't got any other weight on your mind, but maybe that kind of competitive dynamic is beneficial. You know, and maybe it doesn't actually make a big difference if you won the league or not. The one thing I suppose as well to throw into the mix here is to say that they've done it now, immediately before. Mm. Had this happened a couple of weeks ago, perhaps it's different. Mm.
And then Pablo, just looking now at the future for Real Madrid, because we know that they're going to strengthen in the summer. The fact that they are already so many points ahead of the second place team, the fact that they are going to get a big player or two big players, who knows? We know that Kylian Mbappe is expected to join in the summer. What does this mean for everybody else? How do they make it a competitive season?
Well, I think always big teams, they always need to strengthen the team, because probably some of them will leave the club at the end of the season. And you always, for a club like Real Madrid, you always need to bring players in who can actually improve their squad. And obviously, those names, Mbappe, Rudiger, I don't know, some of them that could actually come into the club and improve the team. I mean, Mbappe would be a huge, huge signing for them. He's one of those players that, you know, they all want to bring. He, especially thinking in the way that this team playing football, with counter-attacking football, it will suit perfectly for Mbappe.
And Sid, what do you think? What's the future going to look like?
Well, obviously, I mean, you talk about the competitiveness of the league next season. That, of course, is not just about Real Madrid. Yeah. It's also about how the other teams respond. And so, for example, if you look at the gap between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid this year, you can look at Atletico Madrid's results against the bottom five. And if you change those, Atletico Madrid are right up behind them. So that's something for Atletico to improve rather than Real Madrid. But there's absolutely no doubt that the rest of the league will look at this and think, wow, if they add Mbappe to a team that already functions very well. I suppose, look, if you're going to be optimistic from the perspective of Sevilla or Barcelona or Atletico, maybe you look at this team and think, well, that midfield can't have another year because of the age. Maybe Benzema doesn't have more than another year in him. Who knows? Let's see. Maybe you get a couple of injuries because, for example, this year when Benzema has been missing, they've really struggled to score goals. Yeah. And so perhaps from the other team's point of view, that's the key. Yeah. But the real key for them, of course, is how they respond in the summer and how they strengthen. In Barcelona's case, there isn't really the money to do it. In Sevilla's case, I suspect there isn't either. The question mark for me is how Atletico Madrid respond.
And finally, I was going to ask you what impressed you the most about Real Madrid this season. But now I feel like saying how much of that is down to Karim Benzema, because just given his age, given the fact that he did leave in the shadow of Cristiano Ronaldo, and now we're almost looking at this Karim Benzema and going, geez, where have you been all our lives?
Well, he's been, you know, we've always been saying the same. For some players, they've been in a decade of, you know, Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah. They were very unlucky. But what Benzema had been doing this season is absolutely amazing. Yeah. Well done to him. I absolutely love him because he's 34 and he still have that passion that you always need to perform like that week in, week out at that age. You know, it's not that easy, but physically always been good. Apart from some small injury, always, you know, he's a true leader. He's a true captain for the team. He made everyone around him even better. So when you have someone at that age performing like that, is something that you always really appreciate from a player.
Sid, what did you get impressed by the most?
He is this season so far ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
It's just extraordinary. This is the top scorer in La Liga, but he's also top in assists.
Yeah.
He's the guy that makes everything function for Real Madrid. I think he's a big part of the reason that Vinicius has taken a step up this year. The question, where was he before? Well, he's always been here.
Yeah.
The difference is that the role has changed, the degree of responsibility has changed. And he said it himself, and I love the way he put it. I had a guy alongside me who scored 60 goals a season, so of course I was there in part to facilitate him. Now he's doing it all. I just think this is one of the single individual most amazing seasons I've ever seen.
Indeed, and that is definitely something that we have enjoyed watching all season long. But the season's not done just yet.
Not quite.
But Real Madrid K have wrapped things up early, 4 games to go, and as of now, they are official champions of La Liga.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's very interesting to hear them talk about the fact that there are the aging players in this squad. Carlo Ancelotti, Luis, has stayed true to many of those players each week. Very consistent, not changed that starting 11 too much, particularly when he didn't have to. Were you surprised that he stuck with these players, even though they are aging?
No, not at all. I think he's got a fantastic experience. He's been in many big teams with many personalities, characters, egos, and different kind of players or different many cultures. And you learn through that way how to manage this kind of person, of players. And when you arrive to Real Madrid, you need to know that you don't have to tell anything to Kroos, to Modric, to Casemiro, to Benzema, how they have to play. They know already. They've been there for many years. They know and compete in every single moment of their careers in big games, and they perform well. So you don't have to tell them how to do. You just have to understand them, try to be close to them, trying to give them the confidence they need to perform well. And that's what Ancelotti's been doing. In the beginning of the competition, he was trying to rotate them because of the age and didn't work. And then I'm sure that he had a chat with them and told them, listen, I need you and I need you to perform. Are you going to be ready? You tell me when you're tired. You tell me when you want to rest. And then we're going to move forward. And he's been doing like that through the rest of the season. And that's how they have paid him. They've been performing week in and week out. Benzema, Kroos, Modric, Casemiro, Vinicius, even though he's young, he's been giving him that. Vinicius was a player who wasn't playing there because it was Hazard. He waited for his chance. Hazard wasn't performing, giving and delivering. So Ancelotti said, okay, it's your chance. Go for it. And Vinicius gave back that confidence with goal, with assist, and being a key player. So at the end, I'm not surprised that Ancelotti has gave this confidence to these players, but because I think he's a fantastic, fantastic manager in the way of talking. I'm not talking about tactically, that I'm sure that he is as well, because I haven't been in the training, but I'm sure that managing the way that the players have gave back all that power and delivery, I think is a great manager.
And like Luis says, it's hard to change these players. We know they know what to do. We know how good they are. But you just saw today how much maybe he didn't trust in those behind them and he wanted to rely on them, because this lineup that we're seeing today, I mean, Vallejo, for example, hadn't started in almost 3 years.
Yeah, and so opportunities for guys like Ceballos, Camavinga, Mariano, Rodrigo, Marcelo, so on and so forth. It was, as we described it earlier, an eclectic mix for Real Madrid. But that was necessary in the eyes of Carlo Ancelotti to provide the energy that you wanted today against Espanyol. And also because you're looking ahead to Manchester City. And in managing those players, Modric, Casemiro, and Kroos, you have to be able to trust the judgment of the players. And the players have to be able to trust the judgment of the manager. And you only develop that trust through communication. And what I think has been very clear here with Carlo Ancelotti as he came into Real Madrid was he leaned very heavily on those very experienced guys and said, okay, listen, guys, I'm not gonna influence the way in which you play the game. You know yourselves very well, but I need you with honesty, with trust, to believe in what I'm doing And I also need you to communicate with me clearly. How are you? What do you need from me in order for you to be successful? What do you need in terms of a platform for us to be able to communicate clearly what the ideas are to the younger guys and for the older guys to be able to say, I am comfortable playing this role. This is what I want you to do, and how can you do that at your highest level? Again, communication and trust at this level, it is so very important. And at times, I think even more important than the tactical approach that you take to the game, because you're handling big personalities, big egos at a big club with a lot of pressure. So you need to have a human side to you that players can relate to. And it was clear to see in the celebrations that these players related to Carlo Ancelotti, and the human connection is always there.
I think you've, to add to Ali's points there, I agree with him 100%. I don't usually give directors of football or presidents or whatever they call themselves credit. But the fact that they brought Ancelotti in was a masterstroke. Mm-hmm. You know, they could have gone for a young up-and-coming guy who was all bluster and wanted things done. And all those things that Ali was talking about wouldn't have happened, because this young up-and-coming guy would have taken over. Or even an experienced guy like a Mourinho who probably wouldn't have listened to them. The appointment of this guy was perfect for the group of players they had, for the position they were in. The appointment was absolutely spot on. And this wouldn't have happened if they hadn't brought in Ancelotti. That's an absolute certainty.
It's perfect timing, where Ancelotti was in his career and where this group of players were coming into the season. And it's a match that, as Stevie puts it, was a master stroke. And I think what I've seen from Ancelotti this season, in press conferences in particular, is how sincere, honest, open, without any sort of agenda, without selling himself, without exposing his players, how he's been willing to take all the pressure and all the criticism and whatever questions there were, deflect those questions, and whatever praise there was, he gave to the players. It wasn't about him, it was about the players. And if you're sitting in that locker room and you hear this guy week in and week out talk about you in the terms that he speaks of his team and his players, man, the next time you're out there on the field, you can't wait. You can't wait to perform for this guy, because you can't wait to repay for the trust and the communication. The human connection and human relation between managers and players cannot be understated. It is a critical part to success, because we're talking about humans. We are talking about people that have feelings. And even at the highest level, sometimes somebody needs an arm around their shoulder. Sometimes somebody needs a spanking in the backside. Sometimes somebody needs to get on each other's face. The recognition of those moments, obviously, clearly, was spot on from Carlo Ancelotti, and the players responded to it.
Yeah, and success once again in his second stint here as manager of Real Madrid, Luis. They can't let him go this time, can they?
They shouldn't. And I'm not expecting them to let him go. I think that the future comes with Ancelotti on his end. I'm totally sure that after, it doesn't matter what is going to happen in the midweek game against Manchester City, after winning the Super Cup, after winning La Liga and showing the strength and consistency that the team has been showing during the whole season, I could see Ancelotti staying for more than 1 year, and they are going to try to build a team around his preferences, what he needs, what he felt that he was short in the whole season. He needed a little bit more here, a little bit more that. And I'm totally sure that Florentino is going to be there to try to provide the players he's going to need for next season to try to compete in every single competition once again. Because we cannot forget, Real Madrid is not only a one-time winner of La Liga or of Champions League. They need to compete to perform every single week in and week out for every single trophy. So at the end, you need a longer squad.
Luis, City are still big favourites going into this second leg. Obviously, they have the goal advantage, 4-3. They come into the game at the Bernabeu. We saw a great performance from Rodrigo today. He's been scoring goals of late. Does that change Ancelotti's mind in any way, or does he already know that maybe him and the rest of his team who are starting, obviously Rodrigo started in that first leg, does he know his starting 11 already, or has he had his mind changed today by any of those performances?
No, I don't think he's going to change at all. I'm sure that he's got already in his head what is the team that he's going to use, how is the approach that he's going to have against Manchester City. It doesn't matter if what Manchester City scored 4 goals today against Leeds United. He just needs to focus on what they can do, how they can hurt Manchester City. Rodrigo is a key player, but we have to wait to see who is going to be up front. We've seen Pep Guardiola changing, rotating so many players up front. It's going to be Sterling, Foden, Mahrez. De Bruyne didn't play today, so he's going to be a key player also in the middle of the park against Real Madrid. So it's not about what Pep Guardiola is going to do. It's about what Real Madrid can do, how they can hurt them. They proved it in the first game. Yeah, they can be dominated, Manchester City. Yeah, they can create chances, but they are vulnerable at the back. They know that in transition, they struggle. They have problems. And Vinicius Junior was a key player. We'll see if Pep Guardiola is going to have Walker ready and Cancelo, and then maybe the team shape is going to change a little bit. But for Ancelotti, he's going to try to do the same as the first game. Wait for his occasion, try to capitalise them.
Should Man City be big favourites going into this one, Stevie?
I don't think big favourites would be the right way to put it, but I certainly think they should be favourites. I think the way they dominated Real Madrid, regardless of the scoreline, tells you that Real Madrid know what they're up against. They know they're up against a real side. And of course, City know what they're up against in Real Madrid. They're up against a team that will counter-attack, and they have got pace, and of course they have the man of the season and the man of the moment in Benzema. But no question, Manchester City are favourites to win this game.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on the latest edition of the show, but we're not quite over yet. We will be answering your questions on Extra Time. Shaka and Don will be back with myself and Stevie, so stick around. That's coming next.
I think I'll watch that game myself.
We're just talking about how tight things are for that second spot in the English Championship.
What a game, Bournemouth Forest.
And now coming right to our postponed
Tuesday, what
game.
Time's that?
2 Eastern, that's going to mean so much.
2 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not going to see it.
Do you know what you can do? Check out ESPN FC, as always.
Of course.
They'll be looking back in it. Are you babysitting?
No. I get home in the middle of the afternoon Tuesday.
OK.
Oh, I'll watch it, though.
OK.
I'd rather watch it live, though. Do you know what? I hate watching things that have taped. Because I don't have patience. I just go like that. After about 5 minutes, I go, you know what, I'll just... go like
Don and Chaka are with us. Will they be watching what goes down in the English Championship, seeing if Forrest can
see,
do
I
it?
I think I'm a younger Stevie because I'm the same. When I've got a game, when I've got a game,
is that bad for me or him? Who's that worse for?
when I've got a game that's paused and it's like 25 minutes behind, I'm like, yeah. Just speed it up. Yes, now I'm back and I've just missed 25 minutes.
Shaka's nodding away there. Is that how it goes, Shaka?
Yeah, no. I also get the alerts on my phone. So whenever a goal goes in or something happens, it pops up on my phone. So if you're 25 minutes behind,
turn them off.
It doesn't make any sense. You just can't.
I know, one of those days when you're like, don't tell me the scores. No. Social media has seen to that. All right, we'll start with this one. I'll ask you, Stevie. Where does Carlo Ancelotti rank amongst the greatest coaches?
Oh, my goodness.
The first to win the five big European leagues, and potentially he could become the first coach to win four Champions Leagues. Is he underrated because he doesn't have a fixed playing style like Klopp or Pep?
But the fact that you don't have a set playing style and you've won that many trophies in different countries playing different ways takes a bit of beating, doesn't it? Right?
Well, also, it's interesting that you hear Klopp and Pep because you're talking about such a specific role in taking charge of a team like Real Madrid, and it just seems to be, once again, the perfect fit for Carlo Ancelotti.
Well, let me put this question a different way. Not is he amongst the greatest coaches. Who's done more? I can't think of anybody off the top of my head right now who's done more.
Who's sucking in the breath and going, ooh, to Stevie's answer? Was that you, Don?
Who's actually ahead of him?
It weren't me.
Was it you, Shaka?
I don't think there's anybody
ahead. I didn't see a thing.
Yeah?
OK. I'm sure
he's
someone
a genius,
went,
though.
He's a genius, Don.
He is a genius. I mean, I don't buy that he hasn't got a set playing style. I think why people probably underrate him a little bit, Kay, is because he's not got like an alter ego. He's not like a Jose. You know, he's got the human touch. You know, you listen to what people like Andrea Pirlo say about him and Zlatan say about him. They rank him as one of the very, very best. And he is. He has to be.
Okay, there you go. Don said it himself.
Can I just say, I agree. I don't think Ancelotti is underrated. I think he's different from the likes of Guardiola and his style and Klopp and everything that people say about him. And even going back to, say, Alex Ferguson, given what he did. And for me, Ancelotti just makes things look so easy. It's never ever about Carlo Ancelotti. And I think that's one of the beauties of playing for him. That when things aren't going well, as they weren't for Real Madrid early on in the season, he said, yep, we're defending a little bit too deep. He took responsibility. And then when things are going great, he just backs way out of the limelight and allows the players to enjoy that bright spotlight. And I think as a player, you really do respect that. And as a result, he's got the best out of whatever players he's worked with, wherever he's worked with them, without having to have a redefining style like Guardiola has had.
Don, would it have been any different if he stuck around at Everton for where Everton are this season?
Probably, because he'd have brought better players in when he brought the people like Hammers in. He'd have raised the bar in terms of the standards and he would have made it simple for everyone. And straight away, we're there when Shaka was saying there about his playing style and how good of a manager he is. Straight away, I was thinking Jose Mourinho, because if Jose Mourinho had won them five titles in five different leagues, he'd have been bleating about it everywhere. The whole world would have knew that Jose done it. Carlo Ancelotti's like, yeah, it's for players. The players do all the hard work. He puts it on them. But to answer your question, he would have done better than what Frank and Rafa Benitez have done, for sure.
Shaka, assuming they can get Lukaku out of the door, do you think Chelsea should go all out for Lewandowski? He'd be a massive upgrade and could score the goals they need for them to close the gap on Liverpool and Man City.
Well, there's two parts to that question, Key. The first, I don't see happening because I'm not sure how you get Lukaku out the door, in all honesty. And I know there's been a lot of talk about Italy and going back to Inter. And I just don't see how anybody spends the kind of money that it would take, right? But let's assume they can. Let's assume they can somehow put it together and move Lukaku on. Absolutely, yes. I think Lewandowski fits wherever he decides to go. And there's a need at Chelsea, clearly. You believe that City, who also have a need, have addressed theirs. It looks like Real Madrid doesn't have an immediate need right now. He's been linked with Barca. Chelsea, there's that need. Absolutely. You move heaven and earth to do it. I'm just not sure that moving heaven and earth gets Lukaku out the door. Even that gets Lukaku out the door.
Benzema has had a monster season at 34. Where were the guys at 34? Do you wish you could have played in this era for more longevity? Where were you at 34?
Where was I at 34? I was still at Liverpool. I was still there, but I did leave when I was 34, I believe. There's no question, playing today, I would have had more longevity because my habits would not have been what they were. So there's no question about the last...
Because you wouldn't have been allowed, or just because you would have reassessed
things? I've always asked this question, right? So, football's about a lot of things, but one of the things I honestly believe is that you've got to look after your soul as well. It's one thing to not drink beer. You got to make sure you get enough vitamins, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and don't do this, and don't do that. I'm a firm believer that, you know what, yes, but you have to have something on the outside that balances everything up. So, would I have been fitter? Yes. Would I have been happier? I don't know. I would have had a bigger bank balance, but would I have actually been happier? I don't think so.
Do you think, Don, that you might have extended it? Where were you at 34? And would a bit of yoga have helped you and a few vitamins?
I would have tried the lot, Kay. I would have tried anything. I was at West Ham at the time, and I ruptured my ACL, my cruciate, when I was 32, and my contract was up when I was 34, so I was never quite the same as I was getting older, because I didn't have that confidence in the, not the ACL repair, but the recovery. But I agree a little bit with Stevie. I mean, everything in moderation. I mean, I can remember waking up on a match day at home at Upton Park, and I've done all the right things. I've gone to bed the night before. I've gone to bed at like 9:30 at 10. I've woke up, I've had porridge, I've had fruit. I've gone out in the afternoon, had an absolute stinker. Had one of the worst games I've ever had. Then a week later, literally playing away from home, I'm in a hotel, I'm chatting with my roommate who's sitting in the bed next to me. We're up till 1 o'clock in the morning, chatting. I've had a massive fry up. I've had the lot. I've woke up in the hotel food. I'm like that, croissants, fry up, everything. Gone out in the afternoon, had a worldie. And you're like, how does this work? How does it work?
Shaka was talking about that yesterday, that as you're starting to get older, you think, oh, I ate that this morning. Maybe that's what I need to eat next time.
Shaka,
where were you at 34?
At 34, I was playing for Portsmouth in what is now the Championship. But at the same time, that very 2002-2003 season, I left West Ham in 2002, went to Pompey. Pompey was sitting top of the Championship, and West Ham were in a relegation dogfight. So in that season, Pompey got promoted, West Ham got relegated, so we swapped places, which was kind of funny, given that, you know, as I say, I just left West Ham. Harry was the manager at Pompey. He got sacked. So we had a little giggle at that.
You might have a little giggle.
I was the one that went down, Shaka. Cheers.
Yeah, it's not so funny now, is it, Shaka? Not for Don.
I don't know, he's still smiling.
You might be smiling, all of you, when you hear this next question. How would Stevie feel about being tossed up and down like Ancelotti during Real Madrid celebrations?
I wouldn't fancy being him to try to toss me up and down. Don't know that.
Yeah, how would everybody underneath feel is a better question.
What are you trying to say, Shaka?
There may be a lot of staff members as well as players.
How would everybody underneath Stevie feel? That's a better question.
Have you ever had the bumps?
No. The bumps is that.
That's what I call the bumps when they throw you in.
We call that the bumps,
Kay,
don't we?
That's the bumps, isn't it, Tom? Is that an northeastern thing?
Yeah, it's a northeast thing. You get the bumps on your birthday.
There's a new dance that is going around.
All right, Snake.
It's the bump.
What do you call it then when you're throwing someone up in the air?
You just throw them in the air.
It's the bumps.
It's not the bumps.
Even our not from the northeast, and cheese.
The bumps is either that, or when you were a kid and got the bumps, you got battered in the middle of your back because it was your birthday. Whatever number your birthday was, if you were 10, you got 10 bumps in the back.
It's just weird, how's that, the bumps?
Who's chucking something in the air?
It's just what it's called. It's called the bumps.
No, your house.
In Don's house as well.
Yeah.
And in our producer's house. Who's not from the northeast as well.
Northeast, there's a great recommendation. The northeast.
How are you? All right. Yeah. For Shaka. Shaka, do you call it the bumps? Just to, No?
I don't call anything the bumps.
What do you call that when you throw someone, toss them in the air, like the Real Madrid players did today with Ancelotti?
I'm with Stevie. I call it throwing them up in the air.
The bumps. It's the bumps.
No, it's not. It's
for Shaka, who would you start as Brazil's number one in the World Cup, Alisson or Edison? P.S. Bring back the goalkeeper rankings, please.
If they're playing tomorrow.
I'll give it some thought. My algorithm is a little stretched right now, Kay. So I'll have to see how that
But use the tree model.
But to your question, I'd play Alisson. I feel he's more solid. He is less prone to the odd mistake. And while Edison is clearly a better pass of the ball out to the back, I feel that's less of an asset in international football in particular.
Don, you missed it yesterday. We got asked if Manchester United would be more likely to win the league if we used Shaka's algorithm or your percentages.
Ooh. Oh, my days.
And it was 50-50.
I'm going to guess neither would work.
Yeah. Probably not. A bit like Manchester United at the moment.
Yeah.
All right, Stevie, pick the best midfielders for Liverpool. John Barnes, Patrick Berger, Steve McManaman, or Steven Gerrard, Thiago, or Xabi Alonso?
Oh, man.
So I have to pick one of the trios. So I can't pick individuals from all those names.
No, but that would be interesting too. But go on, one of the two threes.
Well, the second one. Gerrard, Thiago, and Alonso.
Obviously, because Thiago's in there.
Clearly. Yeah, Alonso and Gerrard, absolutely. Yeah, well, that's not fair on Maka, because Maka was a wide player, as was Barnsley at his best.
So
that's why I'm going for Gerrard, Thiago, and Alonso.
All right. Lastly, Kay, start, bench, and drop tonight's panel for babysitting your kids for one day. I could go a few ways with this.
Now, wow.
I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, both boys. Right. Shaka's definitely had a lot of experience because he's got loads of kids. Stevie is in regular practice because he's often babysitting the grandkids.
Just got back from Philly.
Did a fine job of that too.
One.
All right. As a favour, Don, I'm going to drop you because it's the last thing you need right now. You've got a new baby at home and your little twinnies.
Yeah.
You don't need to be looking after someone else's babies.
Yeah, I see you've done there. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, now what do I do?
Depends what Stevie you get, because Stevie could be, for the kid, the best day the kid's ever had in his life. Stevie would give him lollies.
He would.
He would give him pop. He would give him fizzy drinks.
But
kid would have the time of his life, or Stevie might lose him.
Well, to be fair though, Stevie is too busy with all those grandkids. So I think that Shaka might be a little bit out of practice with little babies.
Ooh.
So I'm going to put Shaka in charge of the babies because they're in safe hands. Stevie will be on the bench in case Shaka decides that this is not for him anymore and he's tired of this. And Don, I'm giving you a break. All right.
Thanks, Kay.
Imagine a goalkeeper with safe hands. You think?
Did you mean that?
That's a poor selection, Kay. That's a poor selection. I'd drop me all day long.
I knew he'd say that because he'd rather not do it at all.
I've had enough for kids. I've had enough.
Hey, Shaka, I've got some news for you.
Clearly, Don hasn't.
I've got some news for Shaka. You got four kids, right? No, five?
Five.
You got five kids. So all the very best, because they're all coming home with their kids themselves. So you better get rested up.
That's a big Stevie. I think you have a little bit of distance with the grandkids. But I'm My youngest is he'll be 15 soon, but still, it's still a little too close. It's still a little too fresh in my mind.
That's a misconception.
My mum was one of five, and I'm one of 16 grandchildren on that side. So good luck, Shaka.
Here's what the misconception is. I am telling you that the grandkids... Listen, my two kids had a great time, but I was... Listen, my missus was the strict one, but... Even with my kids, I was way stricter with my two kids growing up than I ever am with the grandkids.
Do you know what? Latest performance has just changed the manager's mind. Stevie is going to be started with Mikey Mees. Shaka, you're on the bench, mate.
I'm telling you.
2 days of me picking Stevie. So there we are. We'll mind the kids first, though, and then we'll go to the Riverside and have beers and all right?
As a celebration.
Sounds good to me. Thanks for your questions today. Thanks for being with us on the latest edition of Extra Time. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again, so make sure you join us. Always remember, ESPN FC is available 7 days a week.